The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Well, that wasn't so fun, was it? Brewers never had a lead in this one. A four spot in the top of the first inning, and the Padres just never looked back from there. I'm Dominic Catronio. It's a 6-3 final tonight, and quite frankly, wasn't even that close. But the Brewers did leave a lot out there, and it's one of those days that baseball gods just kind of laughed, because in the first inning, Wade Miley, man, I feel for him, because that was, of course, the game opened with another Bermuda Triangle blooper into shallow right field, so you're thinking, here we go again. Tatis lines a single up the middle, and then a weird error by Jake Bowers on a missed great play by Wade Miley on a bunt up the line by Profar. Great shovel. Would have been on every highlight reel, but Bowers missed it. Then the ball that hits off of Wade Miley. Four batters in, seven pitches into the game. And you're like, oh my gosh, is Wade going to be okay? And then two pitches after that, three-run homer, and it's 4-0. And you're like, wait, the game just started. So this one was just a weird start. I will learn more about Wade in the coming days. Honestly, it was impressive that he was able to get three innings after taking 104, I believe it was, off of the knee or near the knee area on his left side. Obviously, the starting pitching is going through it a little bit right now. Pat Murphy alluded to that in his post-game session as well. You'll hear that later on in the program, too. We'll also hear from Craig Kishon in just a little bit. I think the best place to start today, as opposed to normally going with our three most important plays, because I just listed the three most important plays right there. The error by Bowers, the ball off of Miley, and then the three-run homer. Those were the most important plays. I'm just looking at the numbers, and I want to go ahead and just jump into the runners and scoring position conversation and get ahead of things here. The Brewers were 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position today. It has not been pretty the last couple of games. But hey, these were in the models. And we've been telling you since this great stretch going to last Saturday against the Orioles, when they were just continuing to impress with runners in scoring position. It's just like they're not going to be hitting 450 all season long with runners in scoring position. It just doesn't work like that. So now they're down to 346 for their season average with runners in scoring position after going 1-for-8 tonight. But when you go back since Sunday, so over their last three games, they're just 6-for-35. Again, regressing to the mean, not that big of a deal in my opinion. Yes, it's the reason why they lost last couple of games, but in addition to that, I look at a couple of untimely runs from the bullpen, not getting length out of Wade Miley today certainly hurt, at least not like you were expecting. You're hoping to get five out of Wade today, given tomorrow is a TBD day. Tomorrow, I think with the way that the bullpen shook out today, it maybe means Bryce Wilson is going to take the ball tomorrow, and I imagine there will be another roster move to bring a fresh arm up here. At least you get the off day on Thursday, but I don't want to spend more of the bullpen and the starting pitching conversation with Craig Kishon. I mean, on Twitter, it was mostly just talking about why can't they get the hit? Why can't they get the hit? And a lot of questions, why are they using the quote-unquote A bullpen down by four runs in the seventh? They needed to get work. For instance, I loved the move of putting Abner in the fourth inning, try to get him back on track. Hobie was the best arm out of the pen today. He got out of a bases loaded jam, then struck out the side. He needed that badly. Needed to get Piguero back on track, and he didn't really look great in that seventh inning, so didn't love that. And then Jared Koenig once again gave you an inning plus, and you know it might be one of those thank you for your service using the option sort of thing here. So it's going to be a very difficult day to manage tomorrow, given everything that happened today. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. But maybe the biggest issue is the defense. And I didn't expect to be talking about defense, but a routine throwing error from Joey Ortiz in the first inning, it did not come back to bite them. We mentioned the dropped catch error by Jake Bowers at first base, and also an error on William Contreras. It also did not come back to bite the Brewers. It just left the man stranded, but it was just another weird day with multiple errors where it seemed to snowball. But a reminder, it's a young team. They're learning how to deal with all of this when adversity comes your way in the big leagues. This is the first time they're dealing with adversity in the big leagues. Their first series loss of the year. I'm not going to overreact to that. I don't think that's too big of an issue to worry about. But I do want to break down the pitching and how much guys are being used and how much you're asking out of these guys right now. So I want to get to that coming up next. Craig Kishon joining us shortly as well. We're going to the top of the hour tonight, 11 o'clock here on WTMJ. I also want to thank our presenting sponsor all season long, Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Let's talk a little pitching. Let's talk about what went wrong today and what today means for tomorrow. Coming up next, 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620. Take a breather. Come back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers fall 6-3 tonight. They've dropped the series to the Padres. Try to salvage it tomorrow. Right now, we're pleased to be joined by Craig Kishon once again. Just finished up over on Bally Sports Wisconsin, joining us here on the home of the Brewers. Craig, I mean, it feels so odd that this game should not have been as over as it was in the first inning, but that's what the demoralizing fact is of facing Dylan Cease when he's on his A game. And yes, he did walk five, but otherwise Dylan Cease was not allowing anything against him. And down by four, might as well have been down by 40, given how well he was throwing the ball today.
Yeah, you're right about that. And it's that way against certain pitchers. And I think, you know, the other day the Brewers kind of were in the same situation with Corbin Burnes out there, even though that game was obviously even midway through. They had a lot of opportunities, but couldn't come through against obviously a really quality pitcher. And it was kind of felt that way a little bit the same in today's game as well. But I mean, you're down four. And then just the way that all happened too, there wasn't, that's kind of a confidence demoralizer, even though it's only the first inning and the game is long after that. But you're right, not against a quality pitcher like that.
And the Brewers only went down 1-2-3, three out of the nine innings tonight. So there was traffic, there were opportunities all night to try to finally crack through against Cease. I mean, look at the first inning. I loved the fact that they avoided the shutdown inning in the bottom of the first, had the two-out double by Jake Bowers, and you're thinking, okay, maybe this could be the start of something new. Little did they know that would be the only run they would score against Dylan Cease today. And furthermore, for the Brewers' middle portion of this game, from the pitching side of things, don't lose sight of the fact that Wade came back to throw the second and third inning scoreless, and then had Uribe throw a scoreless fourth, had Hobie Milner help out in the fifth, scoreless sixth inning. I mean, the Brewers were still very much in this game in the middle portion of the contest.
They really were, and it's a credit to, you know, the bullpen for sticking tough. They've had a rough patch or two, which is, hey, you know, that's going to happen. They were really good the first, you know, 10 games up to the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, really good, but that can't continue that way. So you try to get through the hiccups, and, you know, Uribe has had the last couple of times he's been out there, it's been rough. Let's just put it that way. And today, an inning and two-thirds, he got out of his own bases, loaded jam as well. I thought Holby looked really, really good. He needed kind of a bounce back, you know, multi-inning effort as well. You know, Peguero was the only one who really ran into trouble in a shorter stint. But Koenig's been impressive. I mean, he pitched, made his debut with the Brewers yesterday and pitched an inning and two-thirds again in today's game. And then, you know, Payam's finished up the ninth inning strong. So it's all about keeping your team in it. And you just never know when there's going to be big opportunity innings all of a sudden to break out. And we saw some of those opportunities later in the game for Milwaukee, but they weren't able to completely cash in here tonight, nor last night as well.
For me, I'm not super worried about the bullpen. I think they're being asked to do a lot, and hopefully not asked to do a lot more here in the near future. But this is the the worry coming into the season, right, without a lot of proven starting pitching. Granted, Joe Ross pitched a lot better than his line indicated yesterday. Jacob Junis being injured is certainly not helping. Wade Miley being slow to start now. Maybe we have to wait on his knee and this contusion that he's sure to have when he wakes up tomorrow morning. But not only does it put pressure on the bullpen, it puts pressure on Freddy Peralta and Colin Ray and these guys that are your more traditional, hey, I need six out of you every single time you go out there. It's not their fault, but that's just the reality of the situation when games like this continue to happen. I mean, tomorrow's going to be a bullpen day, and yes, there's an off day on Thursday. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed to bounce back A-OK on Friday either. Hopefully Trevor Megill is back soon to certainly help things out, but it's a kind of a house of cards, if you will. As soon as one starts to blow away, it gets a little harder for everything else to stay afloat.
I think the biggest thing with the bullpen at this point, or really, you know, you hope at any point, is they have, you know, pretty decent depth, and some of these guys that are out right now, or you know, are going to be coming back here soon. Those are, I think, are the bigger encouraging signs. I think the tough part about this stretch here as we enter the third week of the baseball season is we're already talking about having a bullpen game. You have probably a greater probability of that because you have the off day on Thursday, and so you've got that luxury. The bad part is what happened today is you needed six full innings out of the bullpen. But look, they did a good job. I mean, we pointed it out on our show on the TV side. I mean, they got a quality outing out of them. Six innings and only two runs given up. But unfortunately, you know, you look for them to completely shut down the opponent and really give you a chance and keep it within a run or two. But that wasn't, you know, the way it turned out here tonight. But I mean, you just have to look at these. Like I pointed out, there are a couple of guys, really in particular, Uribe and Milner, that needed a game like this with a different type of pressure and to be able to make their pitches and get their outs. And I think the bullpen will be fine. I think the other thing is, Dom, and I'm sure you'd agree, they're still in need of strengthening that starting rotation right now.
Very much so. And I would say you've got Freddie as a true number one right now. Joe Ross has pitched better than his ERA indicates in 14 innings. But DL Hall is going to have to learn how to develop fast in the big leagues because 22 hits and a whip over two is not going to cut it in a very competitive division. And now you have to wait and see what happens with Wade Miley. So all of this leads to another. And it's not like we all knew the starting rotation was going to be thin this year as you figure out how healthy is Ashby now with Junis' injury. How long is it going to take for him to get back on the mound? He threw it 75 feet today on a flat ground. No timeline for him to get back on a mound at this point. But it's not like there's going to be an immediate starting pitcher that comes up here and sticks around. I mean, the guys on the 40-man like Carlos Rodriguez and Aaron Ashby and Jansen Junk, you know, they're not, I don't know if they're getting tapped on the shoulder tomorrow, but I don't think they are. I think they're just going to stick with the bullpen day and see what they can survive. And with Freddie going on Friday, it's going to be like, all right, man, go do it again, just like you did against Baltimore last Friday. And that's just not fair to him, and it's not fair to any of the starting staff. Let's also talk a little bit about the offense, what's going on. We saw some serious changes with Christian Yelich and the news with him being on the injured list. We've kind of been bearing the lead about this, that the offense has been very quiet too. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Stay with us here on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
The new fracture be cure or prevent any disease.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Big news earlier today before a 6-3 loss to the Padres. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig Kishon with us as well. Christian Yelich officially placed on the injured list retroactive 3 days ago. Not great news that the back hasn't improved. It hasn't gotten worse, but in the words of Pat Murphy, Christian Yelich's low back has not responded to treatment. You know, like I said, not getting better or worse, just kind of staying the same. Not super comfortable. It locked up on him on Friday night, so it's retroactive to Saturday for him to being placed on the injured list since he hasn't played since Friday. And today we saw a really different lineup. Frelick back in the leadoff spot again. Willie batting third. Jake Bowers batting in the cleanup spot with Hoskins behind him as the designated hitter. And I look at this lineup, Craig. I know that they've had a great start, and it's been really fun to see. I just don't see any power all of a sudden once you get behind Hoskins. And even then, the only power is from Contreras, Adames, and Hoskins. And I don't know how long that's going to be able to last for this team.
Yeah, I think we're starting to feel the effects of the absence of one of the best hitters in baseball here right now. I mean, let's face it, Christian Yelich had returned to that form probably last year after a great comeback season, and then carrying it over and then some this season. Just the power that he's been displaying, you know, has been really off the charts. So, okay, you can fill the gap for a few games. That's how this game works. But clearly now they're missing him in that number three spot. It just is such an anchor for the rest of the lineup, because so far it's allowed Pat Murphy to move Jackson Churio around, put him at the very bottom, put him at the very top, and somewhere on the back end as well. Same for some of these other guys. He's been able to keep Willie in that cleanup spot. So now you really have to mix your lineup up and hope that somewhere in there someone's going to get some pop in their bat, one or two guys, and do what we saw the first 2 weeks. I mean, the home run balls meant everything to this team here right now, and these guys, you know, have been assembled for 2024, you know, to pop the ball more, to drive the ball more, and it's just been a little blank here the last few games.
When I look at the construction, too, I mean, William Contreras really has to bat second or leadoff. I can't put him any lower, and yes, he's got power, but Willie and Reese are my most reliable pieces of power, and they can't really go back-to-back because you would like to slide in one of those lefties if you can, but then it's like, okay, is Frelick batting cleanup? Is Bowers batting cleanup? So this is where that lack of true thump and left-side thump, for that matter, certainly hurts. We're just getting word also from the clubhouse right now from the Brewers beat. Todd Rosiak, Adam McAlvey caught up with Christian Yelich after the game today. There's no way to know how long he'll be sidelined by his stiff back. It's frustrating because a lot of work has gone into feeling good. At the same time, it's just like, get healthy and try to pick back up where you left off. That's from Adam McAlvey and Todd Rosiak on behalf of Christian Yelich down in the clubhouse. So I don't like the sound of there's no timeline right now. There's no way to know. And it's not a lockup in his own words. But it sounds like we might be having to live without Christian Yelich here for a little while.
Well, we had him on our pregame show. Sophia did an interview with him about a few topics. And, you know, she asked him about the injury. And in all honesty, I mean, we've seen Christian Yelich go through his share of injuries. In my opinion, having been around since, you know, before he was even here, he seemed today a little bit more down than I've seen him before. And he also revealed the same thing. There's no timeline. They don't know. He's just going to have to keep going because, unfortunately, when you're in it the way he is, you know, 3 days in and you're not seeing anything change, to me, that almost throws a scare in. Okay. How much longer do you say, if nothing improves, do you get a second opinion? And you know what happens after that. In a lot of cases, it becomes far more severe. So obviously none of us want that to happen. He doesn't want that to happen. But I think there is definitely, it seems like, concern. And he obviously revealed that just moments ago as well.
Let's, on a positive note here before I let you go, Sal Frelick in the top of the order reached base four times today, including an epic 10-pitch walk in a battle with Dylan Cease that looked like it would have provided an opportunity for the Brewers to finally break through in that fifth inning, which in my opinion was the biggest moment of the game because they had just got out of a bases-loaded jam in the top of the fifth inning, and then a leadoff walk in the bottom of the fifth inning is like the instant recipe for offense. The Brewers weren't able to cash it in, but Sal Frelick had himself a great day. Two pulled base hits, including one to the other way as well. And we even saw him at third base today. Quite a busy day for the kid from Boston.
I love the fact that they can rely on him so much, Dom, to do just about anything here at this point. I thought it was great that he finally got a chance to play third, because why not? I mean, they were in a bind a little bit, trying to keep this game together. And obviously his bat's really important here right now. His at-bats the last several games have been crazy. I'd love to know, well, you can find this out if you wanted to, maybe not for now, but just how many pitches that he's seen, you know, over the last several games. It's got to be as many as anybody else across baseball right now. But his reliability is why he's at the top, and certainly you'd expect him to be there tomorrow again. I mean, they got to get this win. This guy's getting on base, and he needs right now with Christian Yelich out, he and William Contreras need the most at-bats per game out of everybody.
Yeah, he was over 20 pitches seen tonight. He was almost at 20 yesterday. He was over 20 on Sunday against Corbin Burns and the Orioles. So he's now quietly got a 5-game hitting streak right now, and he's had a lot more multi-hit games than no-hit games. In fact, today was his 7th multi-hit game. He's got 4 hitless games. That's the kind of guy that Sal Frelick is. He's not going to hit you 20 bombs. That's not his role. His role is to get on base, get singles, be a pest, steal some bags, and if he starts getting hot here heading into May, I love making that part of the identity of Murph Ball, if you will, of a guy like Sal Frelick being a grinder at the top of the order.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what you need. You need a guy that, you know, is a true leadoff by definition. And certainly, you know, the no power zone right there. I mean, he'll pop one every now and again, but that's obviously, like you said, not what the team's looking for here right now. You need a grinder on top, someone that's going to refuse to be out at the top of his lineup, somebody that, you know, does whatever it takes to get on base, to get something going, even if it's with 2 outs later in the game.
Yeah, he's certainly going to be someone to look to, and we'll all wait and find out who's going to be pitching tomorrow. No show tomorrow, but appreciate you for joining us here on WTMJ, Craig, and we'll hear from you soon, my friend. Go get some rest.
All right. Take care, Dom.
All right, Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. Got a couple of texts that rolled in. I want to address those coming up next. Before we do that, also want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings All Season Long is also brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And right now, through June 15th, you can save up to $1,500 off Central Air Systems. Again, that's at Sider, SEIDER.com. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Again, through June 15th, you can save $1,500 off a Central Air System. You can book an appointment today at SEIDER.com. Let me get to a few of these texts. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. You're on your home of the Brewers. 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Not a fun one. It's a loss. It's a serious loss. But, hey, they were going to lose a series at some point this year. It's okay, guys. It's okay. I'm Tom Catronio, Brewers Extra Innings for another half hour or so here on the home of the Brewers, WTMJ. A couple of texts here. Like the great Vince Lombardi once said, "What the hell is going on out there?" That's what I said in the first inning. Hopefully this changes. That was a good text. That made me smile. I had to do the impression. Yeah, the first inning was not pretty. Not pretty at all. And in that vein, what do you think about Joey Ortiz's throws from third? Many have seemed to be low sailing throws. Do they need to make a change? I want to give, first of all, Joey the benefit of the doubt. Reminder, he's playing third base for an extended period for the first time in his career. And it is a different throw than what you're used to, especially when you're backhanding a ball. When you talk to a shortstop that's playing third base, when you're backhanding a ball and you're having to generate momentum toward first base, and it's such a longer throw than what you're used to at shortstop, that is something to keep in mind. And furthermore, I think with Joey, the one that he threw away today, I mean, he had so much time, and I don't think he didn't commit to, am I going to go to the low arm slot like traditionally infielders do, or am I going to let it ride up top? He's got a good arm. It's not like there's a concern about the strength of his arm. But the concern for me with him is like, whoa, wait a minute. I want to make sure we don't have a thing going on here. I don't think there's a thing going on here. But that was just a weird one. Did he never get a right grip properly? That's something to be asked him about, of what he's feeling with the growing pains of learning third base in the big leagues. When it comes to some of the other headlines that came out of today's game, and I'm guilty of this too, tweeting it as well, I said, buckle up. Look who's behind the plate, Angel Hernandez today. The Brewers, let's make this clear. The Brewers did not lose this game because of Angel Hernandez. Let's make that 100% clear. Is he a good umpire? Unequivocally, no. Is he a nice guy? Yes. And I've met Angel, and a lot of people have said the same as well. The strike zone stuff, he's not the only umpire that's missed strike zone stuff, but the balk thing, man. It's become his personal vendetta to call as many balks as he can from behind home. And I remember, I think it was last year or maybe 2 years ago, Terry Francona said it perfectly, reading his lips, when he came out for an argument in a similar situation. Angel calls a balk from behind home when it's not necessarily his call, and all everyone's confused of what the heck do you see there. And Terry comes out, and the great Tito Francona comes out and says, "Why does this stuff always seem to happen when you're here?" And it's the truth. Wade Miley hadn't been called for a balk since 2020. His pickoff move is great. You know whose call that is? The first base umpires, not Angel's. And Angel insisted, no, he committed to the plate. And that's to be a balk on his pickoff when he got the guy. Granted, it didn't come back to bite them, but it's just like, come on, man. Like, I get it. I'm frustrated having to do this discourse about Angel Hernandez every time he's behind the plate. I'm sure Major League Baseball is too. And unions are unions. I'm a union member too of IATSE, okay? I can talk out of both sides of my mouth here and say, like, oh, the umpire union's too strong. But, like, hey, I get health insurance for my union. So it's like, I'm not going to do that and talk out of both sides of my mouth here. I think Angel... I don't know what the issue is, because it just seems to happen every game. Something weird happens every game, and it could be as simple as he's the problem. It's him. It's the Taylor Swift line. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. I don't get it, man. I just don't get it. Baseball knows. It's not like they're acting like everything's okay. They know. They know. I mean, look what happened in Miami the other day. Bob Melvin called on the wrong pitcher. And they let him make the change. Laz Diaz said, yeah, that was fine. And Skip Schumacher promptly got tossed for right reason. It's just like, they make mistakes too, and it's fine. It's just when they double down, I think, is when people get really frustrated. I'm not super mad at Angel's strike zone today. He's not the only guy that has struggled with strike zones in the big leagues. It's just the stuff, the balk stuff. That's the stuff that annoys me more than anything else. Anyway, got that off my chest. He's not the reason teams are winning or losing games, in my opinion. Just truly. It's everyone has to deal with it. He made bad calls with the Padres, too, on the strike zone. It is what it is. Let me get to the phone lines here before we take a break. Doug is calling in. Doug, you were here at the game. Thanks for listening. You're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Yeah, good evening, Dom. Yeah, we're at game tonight. We'll be back tomorrow before we go back to Baraboo. But I thought... Hobey Milner did a super job. The thing is, as soon as he came out of the bullpen, it looked like, maybe it was just me, it looked like he had an extra step or an extra skip coming across, like, give me the ball, I'm ready to go. And he looked like last year, just coming from the bullpen to the mound, and then he looked great. Another comment I have is not so much to do with the game so much, but I don't know if you noticed the pitchers for the Padres, when they came off the mound, they purposely stomp on the foul line. You know, most pitchers, it's tradition that they take a step and don't touch it. Not a big thing. And from a comment, as far as a fan goes, the big scoreboard and all the information, do you know, am I missing it? Do you know where they show it? I never see the ERA wins or saves when the pitchers are out there.
Generally, from what I've seen, it's been in the auxiliary board on that right field board. I can't say for certain if I've seen it. I'm obviously not sitting like you are, Doug, getting all your information from the scoreboard. I've obviously got the laptop in front of me, so I can't say I've looked super close. I know the hitter stats are on the main board, so I would imagine the pitcher stats are on that auxiliary board. But yeah, I think when it comes to Hobey, and I'll attack these one by one. Appreciate the call here, Doug. Hobey, yes, he looked great, and that was huge. He needed that, especially striking out the side against that portion of the lineup, was a massive confidence booster for him, in my opinion. And furthermore, he's been going through it, and a little mechanical adjustment seems to have worked for him. I talked to him this past week. He said, I feel like I'm executing pitches, but something's a little off. I'm not having the same deception as I've normally have. So I want to get back in the lab and figure that out. And seems like he has worked really hard on that with Jim Henderson and company to get back on track. Today was a huge step for him. As far as the Padres stomping on a line, they're just as superstitious if something's working, that they're going to keep doing it. So maybe there is something about it since that Dodgers series that they've been stepping on the line as that's their thing. I don't know. Pitchers are weird. When I play baseball, pitchers were always weird. They still are weird. I like talking to pitchers. I have pitchers that are friends. They're still weird. and they do things. It is what it is. But yeah, I think Hobie Miller was certainly the biggest bright spot. Him and Sal Frelick were the biggest bright spots of today's game. Up next, we're going to hear from the skipper, Pat Murphy. He's coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Won't you come with us?
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 6-3 today. Tomorrow is still TBD. I made a joke about that today, actually, with Pat Murphy. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for joining us here. We're going for another 20 minutes or so. Today in the pregame session with Pat Murphy, he was just like, look, we have a feeling of who we want to start tomorrow, but we're just going to wait and see how tonight's games go. And I think judging by the way that the bullpen went, not using Bryce Wilson is certainly an indicator that he will be a major factor tomorrow. Maybe there'll be a roster move. Remember, the Brewers acquired Vladimir Gutierrez off of waivers. He could be someone that can come up off of on a day. And I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. But here's what the manager had to say about today's game and today's defeat to the Padres.
How seriously in doubt is his next one?
Well, I think we got to look tomorrow and see where it's at. Again, I believe in the baseball gods, and the baseball gods are not going to tear this team apart anymore.
Murph, knowing that he's compromised, right, and he's trying to give you as much as he can, how do you start mapping out kind of how to cover the rest of the innings?
Yeah, it was it worked out perfectly, you know what I mean, until we give up that two and the whatever, but you wonder why I love this team. It's just like, they're not going to totally give in. This is a good ball club who's playing good. They just came off of a couple good series in a row. They're playing good. They've got some stars in their lineup. They got some great ones, and they're playing good. You know, Profar's swinging it great. Tatis is a star. Manny is Manny, and there's no denying he's a great one. And then they're pitching. I mean, that kid was great tonight. Cease was fantastic. And
40.
Yeah, their pen's good. I mean, they're a really good team. So for our guys to hang in there both nights with adversity, you guys have watched it right in front of you, the adversity we faced, with the stuff not bouncing our way and the adversity we faced with injuries 30. And things like that, it's just a credit to this ball club. I love who they are. They don't quit. You know, I'm frustrated too. But when a rookie doesn't come and catch a ball, or a kid, misplays a ball once, hey, it happens. You know, they're getting their feet wet. But to hang in and battle the way they did against this guy, I'm not. You know, there's no moral victories in this thing, and it's. But the games we've lost were in every one. So there's a lot of great stuff tonight. But credit to the Padres, they were really good.
They were really darn good tonight. And the two plays he's mentioning, throwing a ball away, of course, Joey Ortiz, and then also a rookie not making a play on a ball. The Luis Campusano bloop in the seventh inning that scored a run, that made it at the time 5-1. That was with one out, bases loaded, ball fell in front of Jackson Churio. Maybe, off the bat, I was like, man, that's got a chance to be caught. And I don't know if he had a bad jump. I got to go back and watch the video of it. But I thought if there was ever a ball to die for, right? We talked about it with Sal Frelick last week with the Ellie De La Cruz ball. Granted, kudos to his manager, Pat Murphy, kind of took Sal's back on it. I was like, look, you make that gamble when you're down. It's no big deal. I understood where he was coming from. It was in a good place. This was especially an important spot to make that diving attempt because you got the catcher running. Even if that ball drops, it's a bloop. So only one run is probably going to score. And I was just really surprised he didn't leave his feet on it. But hey, he's a rookie. He's learning. I think what I see with Jackson Churio and his body language is he just doesn't want to make a mistake right now. He's still a little bit of getting his feet wet, getting understanding of what it takes to be a big leaguer and what it takes to be a big league defender, too, because obviously that's a massive part of the game that nobody likes to talk about, except for me for some reason. But being a big league defender is not as easy as just showing up and expecting it to be the same as what you were doing in AAA. It's just not. So he's learning how to make reads off the bat in a bigger ballpark. Not a traditional highlight segment coming up next because, well, quite frankly, not much happened. But we'll play a few highlights and relive this one as the Brewers fall 6-3. We're getting ready to wind down the show here on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Back again. Brewers fall 6-3. A texter here referring to the question that Doug asked a moment ago. The auxiliary board has pitcher stats for the current game only, not for the season. I've looked for those stats as well. Appreciate the texter giving the insight there. I do enjoy that new board. I especially love the pitch sequence tool because that's something I always have up on my laptop when I'm watching these games. And I'm really excited that the fans can start seeing some of that stuff too. I want to put up a video this week as well talking about some of the stuff that I use and some of the stats that I like to use to evaluate. That's at Dom Brewers WTMJ on YouTube. And I'm going to try to post some more videos there throughout the season. This one, not so much a StatCast breakdown, but just kind of how to be a smarter baseball fan. Maybe we'll make that into a little bit of a series this year. Not a traditional highlight segment like we normally do here because the Brewers trailed this entire game. It was 4-0 after a half inning of play. But I will say, seeing Jake Bauer's ambush, which is something we've really come used to, certainly came in handy in the bottom of the first.
This one is lined to right. Couldn't get to the corner. It will. Willy Adames is going to try to score. Here's the throw coming on, and it's cut off, and the Brewers are on the board.
Bob Uecker on the call here on WTMJ. Jake Bauers has swung at the first pitch about 47% of the time at the end of the night here. He loves that first pitch, and it got the Brewers on the board. However, it would be the only run they would have for the majority of the game. The Brewers' bullpen was strong. Yes, they allowed 2 runs in the seventh, but having to jump into action in the fourth inning, highlighted by Hobie Milner in the fifth. He inherited the bases loaded with 2 outs. He managed to get a broken back ground out by Jackson Merrill. And then in the sixth inning, he really shined against Eggy Rosario, struck him out on a changeup. Jose Azokar struck him out on a fastball. And then it was the top of the order in Xander Bogaerts.
It's 1-2. That's what the scoreboard says, and that's what we'll go along with. And a swing and a miss, and Bogaerts is gone. And Hobie Milner strikes out the side.
How about that? Ho-hum. No big deal. Don't need to know the count. Hobie needed that back on track. Retires all 4 batters he faces, and he gets 3 strikeouts. Also, one piece of business to attend to today is that William Contreras needed to extend his hitting streak. He was at 11 games coming into today. He was 0-3 entering the seventh inning. First 2 batters struck out quickly against the new lefty, Adrian Morejon. But then a quick rally formed. A jam shot single by Joey Weimer was followed by a Sal Frelick single the other way. That put runners on first and second for Contreras at the plate.
3-2. There go the runners. It's a line drive and right down for a base hit for William Contreras. Now misplayed by Tatis. So Weimer will score. On his way to third is Frelick. William Contreras extends that hitting streak to 12 games, and it's a clutch 2-out single into right. It's a 6-2 ball game.
Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ. The Brewers would also add a run on a fielder's choice off the bat of William Contreras trying to beat out a double play. He had trouble getting the ball out of the infield today. It was a one of those days. Launch angle certainly went down, but no big deal. You flush it and you hit back after it tomorrow. Some parting thoughts coming up after this as the Brewers fall 6-3. We don't know the starting pitcher tomorrow for the Brewers. It'll be Michael King for the Padres. But some parting thoughts about Whitey Herzog and what Pat Murphy had to say today and some other news and nuggets that we learned in the clubhouse today. We'll wrap up the show after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple minutes here. Of course, Brewers fans, not exactly, mixed feelings about Whitey Herzog in 1982, but obviously the Hall of Fame manager, Kansas City and St. Louis in his time, even was a key figure of the construction of the 1969 Miracle Mets. One incredible baseball life for Whitey Herzog, the White Rat, 92 years young, has passed away. And the Brewers will be in St. Louis this weekend. Of course, I'm sure there will be some sort of ceremony or festivities for one of the best managers the game has seen. Of course, 82, GM manager, was part of the trade. Simba and Raleigh made that work, and then lo and behold, they face each other in the World Series. But it's a baseball life gone. I would recommend You're Missing a Great Game. It's his book that he wrote, just a bunch of stories, man. It's really fun. Really, really enjoy it. And a story from Eric Nadell, the radio voice, Hall of Fame radio voice of the Texas Rangers. One of his first games back in the 70s, Whitey was still managing when he was with the Texas Rangers. Eric was, that is. And he asked him, you know, hey, I'm just getting started in this. Is there any advice that you can give me about baseball and things like that? And he said, one piece of advice or wisdom to remember, nothing makes a manager look dumber than a bad bullpen. That's a good note. Something to always remember. It's not always the manager's fault. If a bad bullpen and that sort of thing. So rest in peace to Whitey Herzog. Another bit today that we learned from the session with Pat Murphy. He has met Whitey Herzog. Obviously not a super close man, but admired him, remembers his days in Kansas City and with the Cardinals, and looks forward to see what they do this weekend. I also asked him, shifting gears here, about William Contreras and about the fact that he hasn't taken a day off this year. Even the games that he's not catching, he's DHing. And tomorrow's a day game after a night game. Maybe a perfect candidate for him to be a DH. And I said, what's that conversation like? Because he's joked with the media saying, my next off day is Thursday, meaning the team off day on Thursday. He said, look, he's a bull, and I have to find a way to rein him in. And there will be a day that I will rein him in, but right now, I'm going to trust the player. And if he tells me he's good, we're going to get him good. We're going to get him going. He had one hit today, maybe just kind of making it to the off day and hitting the reset button and see what happens for him. But man, William Contreras continues to be great. I know he's had a rough two games here, but he wears it, wants to get better. He's going to make mistakes along the way. Every player is going to make mistakes along the way, and he'll use it to get better for the rest of the season. Remember, look at the calendar here real quick. If you're listening live, it's April 16th. If you're listening on the podcast form after the fact, it's April 17th. Take a deep breath. It's okay. They're going to be just fine. A lot of season to figure out, and they're nowhere near healthy right now. Michael King against undefeated TBD. That comes tomorrow. Noon first pitch. My thanks to Craig Kishon for joining us here on the program and to our producer, Max Meyerson. Until next time, keep on swinging.